As we are studying through the book of Matthew, we started in chapter 1, verse number 1. And matter of fact, just so you know, yes, we did preach a sermon on the genealogy of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 1. We did not skip any verse. We want to make sure we deal with all of it. And so we've been in the book of Matthew now, thank you very much, we've been in it, Mercy, for 3 years now. And so we've made it all the way to chapter 24. You might wonder, if you've been here for the whole time, are we ever going to finish? You know, we're talking about the end times. Jesus might come back before we finish Matthew, the book of Matthew. But it's been exciting. What a journey it's been. And if you've just now recently started in our study, what a good time to start. Matthew 24, the end times. And Jesus is coming back. And we're going to be talking about it this morning. And as a matter of fact, we're going to be talking about it for about the next 6 weeks. So it's going to take us a little while to get through it, but I think by the time we get through it, you'll be glad that we took our time and make sure that we understand this. Now, we've already read this text. I would like to, one more time, have a word of prayer with you that we can understand this. There's a lot of confusion about the end times, and I want to make sure that we take a biblical perspective. Therefore, get your pen out, get your fingers lubricated and ready, because we're going to be turning to several scripture references, and I want you to follow me there because I want you to see it with your eyes, okay? So let's have prayer together, and we'll get started in Matthew 24, 1 through 14. Father, this morning, one more time, we just want to pray and thank you for your blessings, a joy that it is to have freedom. And I thank you for our veterans, those that have sacrificed so much that we might have the privilege to be here this morning. God, we think of those that paid the ultimate price, and we thank you for their sacrifice. And we pray, God, that we would honor what they stood for as we teach the truth of the Word of God and what true freedom is in Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, for those this morning, some that might not know for sure what their eternal destination is, God, that you'd work in their hearts and help them to see clearly from your Word that there is hope of eternal life, but it's only found in a relationship with you. So we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I promised you that we were going to be talking about the end times, but the perspective that we're going to take is from Matthew's perspective. Let me lose my jacket here. Which means, in order for us to talk about some of the aspects of the end of the age, or rather the end times, it will necessitate us to go to other passages of Scripture. Now, I want you to think for a minute. Let's say that you have went to church potentially a lot of times in your life. You might even be one who grew up in church. However, if I was to ask you this very important question, are you 100% sure if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? Now, I wouldn't pressure you that way at this time. But what if I did? What if I said, are you 100% sure if you were to die today, that you'd go to heaven? And you might end up saying something like this: well, I'm not really sure if I was to die, I'd go to heaven. You might ask, I've asked that question. I've preached about this for many years. And I've had a lot of folks say, can anybody really know that they're going to go to heaven? Is that something that you can know for sure? Or is it something that you just do your best and then hope for the best? Well, the end times is something that Jesus has talked about, that it's coming. And let's say that you've heard about this, but you really don't know the answer to that question. If you were to die today, you'd go to heaven. You've heard about church, you've heard of the Bible, you've heard about Jesus. As a matter of fact, if somebody asked you if you believed in Jesus, you would say yes. If somebody asked you if you believed the Bible, what you would say is yes. But then one day, you're just living your life like you always do. You know, you go to church sometimes. You might even be faithful to whatever religion or church that you are. And one day, the world seems different. As a matter of fact, the world seems to be in a frenzy, mass chaos. You can't really put your finger on it. You don't know what's going on, so you turn the news on. And it seems like 9/11, where the only thing is just this chaos of mass tragedy. And nobody can really figure out what's going on. But in the end, it seems that a lot of people have disappeared off of the world, off of the planet. They're gone. They disappeared. Nobody can figure out why. However, because you have been to church and you have listened to the words that have been spoken, you might remember a time hearing that Jesus is coming back. And the Bible actually says, and we're going to see it here in a little while, that it says that there's going to be a snatching away. A being caught away of those who are believers. And it says in Thessalonians that we're going to meet him, those that are believers, truly saved, are going to meet him in the air. And so you remember that. What's going through your mind? Because you missed it. Like the rapture happened and you didn't get taken. These are the feelings that people are concerned about who hear messages like this. And then we're going to be talking about the end times, but the only thing you're thinking about is what I just said. You don't want that to happen. And I know that's true. I could tell you all the details of this. I can give you all the details of the tribulation, which is what we're going to start today. We're going to start talking about tribulation because that's what Jesus is talking about. But the only thing that's going on in your mind the whole time is, boy, I sure hope I'm not here when that stuff's all happening. I hope I'm a part of the rapture. You know, I hope I'm a part of that catching away. And in the end, that's what we're going to be talking about. And I want to give you details. We're going to do a lot of lesson here. We're going to do a lot of teaching, but you know, I want you to consider the concern that you might have to be sure that you know that if there's a catching or a snatching away called the rapture, that you're not left here. Yeah. Because he is coming. And I want to help you to make sure that you're prepared for that. We understand that there is a time coming when Jesus is coming. We understand that. And so Israel, as a nation, Jesus has been teaching them. He's been really bringing condemnation on them through chapter 23 because they had rejected Jesus Christ. He called them scribes. He called them Pharisees. And then he called them hypocrites, liars, masked, phonies. Because they said they wanted to believe God, they wanted to receive Christ, but they rejected him. And so then God turned away from Israel as a nation. And that's what he said to them in verse number 37. Look at it in chapter 23. We're going to look at that and we'll sort of take a running start at chapter 24. It says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stone them which are sent unto thee. So Jesus is addressing the nation of Israel. And I think that we have to note this. Because whenever we read chapter 24, if we don't understand that Jesus is addressing the nation, we'll get really confused in interpreting this, thinking that Jesus is talking to us in chapter 24, when he's really not. He's talking to, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And they did reject him. He would have gathered them, he says in 27, or rather verse 37, I'm sorry. I would have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wing, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth. Now, I want you to mark this phrase because it's going to pole vault us in verse 39 into chapter 24. He says, ye shall not see me henceforth. You know what? Let me explain what he's saying here. Jesus, the hand of God is being removed from the nation of Israel and being placed on something else. What was it? The disciples didn't understand. Even in chapter 1 of the book of Acts, which was what we did 2 weeks ago to launch this thing off, the disciples still didn't understand that his hand was being removed from the nation of Israel and being placed upon the church. And we have a gap in history called the church age, which belongs right here. If you're noting things on your, if you're taking notes, the cross, which represents the teaching of Christ and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, until the rapture takes place, there's the church age. Boy, it seems such a small area or time span here, but it's already been 2,000 years. This thing is totally dry. I'm so sorry, but I do need a black one. So the church age, between the time of Christ and the time of the rapture where there's a catching away, is what we are right now. Jesus' hand is being taken off of the Jews and being placed upon the church as the mode of which he will use to evangelize the world. I want you to see verse 39 again, because look what he says. You shall not see me henceforth. In other words, I'm taking my hand off of you, Israel, till ye shall say, what will they say? The nation of Israel one day will again say what? Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Who is that? That's Jesus Christ. So they will be, God's hand will be removed off of them until the day that they look to Jesus Christ as a nation, as their Messiah, which will pole vault us into what we will talk about in chapter 24, the tribulation time. We can recognize that this message this morning is primarily aimed at the Jews who will, as a nation, go through the tribulation. And so whenever we think about that, thank you so much. When we think about the Jews having to go through the tribulation, Jesus wants them to know what they're going to be going through so they can be prepared for it. Now, saved people, we're not going to go through the tribulation, and we will be taken out of here at the rapture. In 1 Thessalonians 4, it's the text that I have here. I want you to turn there. Keep your finger or a marker or something. I already told you to be ready for this. Keep a marker right in chapter 24. We're going to come back. Go to Thessalonians chapter 4. I want you to follow this, please. Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians. It's close to the back. We'll wait for you to get there. If you get to Revelation or Peter, any of the Peters or Timothy, you've went too far. It's right before Timothy. Chapter 4. Look at verse 16. Are you there? First Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then which we are alive and remain shall be, what's the next word? Caught up together with him in the clouds. So there's going to be a catching away. It's where we get the word rapture. That's right there where it comes from. It's a hook on our graph here because, oh, I put it in my book here. On our graph, it's a hook because he's not coming to this earth. He's actually, we're meeting him in the air. So there's a snatching away. Let's read on in that text. Thessalonians chapter 4. Caught up together with the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's read on in chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a what? As a thief in the night. So now we have a new name for our study this morning. It's the day of the Lord. You can almost write that above your graph. As the day of the Lord is coming. The day of the Lord. Which is what we will consider this period called the tribulation. Okay? Now, let's read on. Verse 3, Thessalonians chapter 5. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. That's the tribulation. As travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. So here's what Paul's about to say. The church is concerned. Okay, so the day of the Lord's coming. We're talking about tribulation. We're talking about travail as a woman in birth pains. I mean, this is serious tribulation we're talking about. Will we go through this? Verse number 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, but they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Why, Paul, verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to what? Wrath. But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So those that are saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to go through the tribulation because God has not appointed us to this wrath. Okay? Saved people will not need to go through this because they will be taken up in the rapture. However, there is no hope for a lost person at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the rapture until they recognize that Christ is their only hope of salvation and turn to Him in repentance. True salvation is more than just believing in Jesus. I see the signs on the road, trust in Jesus. It's more than that. It's more than just saying the words. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's necessary to repent. Jesus said that. John the Baptist said that. The apostles said that. Matter of fact, Paul said it in his travels and journeys through in preachings and through the book of Acts. Listen to what Paul said in Acts 20 to the elders of the church there. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus. He called the elders of the church, and when they were come to him, he said to them, listen to what he said. I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. What did he preach? Repentance towards God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And until we understand that salvation is more than just believing in Jesus, but it's turning to him in repentance, that there's no salvation. There's no true being born again, as Jesus said to Nicodemus. We rest, I think, at times as people who want to be saved, who want to be Christians, rely so much on the opinions of a man or an opinion of a religion who says all you need to do are these outward ceremonial exercises and you can be saved because the church saves you. Wrong. Salvation is a personal relationship that's established through Jesus Christ when you turn to Him in repentance. It's the only way to be saved. And so if you're not saved this morning, this is a message of concern because the rapture is coming. And we tend to be concerned about this type of thing because Christ is coming and we want to be prepared. So the disciples were concerned, and so they wanted to know what marked the time he's coming. Listen, if he's coming back and I want to be ready for it, when is it going to happen? So that's what they ask. Look at verse 1. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one, or rather here one stone upon another, that shall not be thrown down. Verse 3. And as they sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, what did they say? Tell us when these things shall be. And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? So Jesus had already told them in the area of the temple in verse 20, rather in the last chapter, I think it was verse 39, right? Let's go back to Matthew 24. Yeah, verse 39. Until they admit that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. So they want to know about his coming. They're desperately concerned about this. And Jesus, as he's leaving the Mount of Olives, you know, they're addressing the temple and the beauty of the temple. And the disciples are, you know, confused about Jesus' statement in verse number 2 that there's not going to be two stone left upon each other. And so the disciples were wondering what's going on here. And might it be that Jesus is the fulfillment of Zechariah, who describes the raising of Jerusalem, R-A-Z-I-N-G, raising to the ground? Zechariah speaks of in chapter 14, 1 and 2, who describes that as soon as the nation of Israel is raised to the ground, then there's wars. In Zechariah 14, 3 through 8, it's followed by the millennial kingdom, which is established immediately. And so the Jews, they don't understand the church age. They don't understand this gap of time, which now has been 2,000 years. I think Jesus is coming, the temple is going to be destroyed, there's going to be a war, and then Jesus is taking over, he's establishing his kingdom, it's going to be right now. Are you coming now? Yeah. I want you to know, those that are most concerned this morning about the coming of Christ are those that are unsure they're going to make it. I want to encourage you this morning, if you don't know for sure that you're saved, you better listen to this. Because this isn't a joke. We want to make sure we're ready. Those that are wrong with God, heading down the wrong path, not doing what God wants you to do, You might be a little bit afraid this morning too. Am I going to answer for those things that I've done? Even though I'm pretty sure I'm saved, am I going to answer for the life that I've lived if I've lived in wickedness when Jesus comes? We want to be prepared because we hear about this guy, the Antichrist, haven't we? The Antichrist is going to come. He's going to deceive many. We don't want to be a part of that group if he comes. And his ways of deception, bringing desire to bring worldwide peace, but in fact ushers in the tribulation. Jesus warned Israel. Now we're talking to the nation of Israel. And again, if you are those that are, if you're saved this morning, that means you're a believer, you've turned to Jesus Christ in repentance and you know you're saved, then you're not going to go through the tribulation. We already said that. But, you know, this teaching about the Antichrist, as Jesus is aiming it to the nation of Israel, who will go through the tribulation, this is of interest to us. I want you to see this, because there is an unparalleled apocalypse on a global scale. And we're going to parallel this with Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 through, I believe, 11. So keep your fingers ready to go to Revelation, because these amazingly parallel each other. Okay. Let's see this deceiver, this Antichrist, in verse 4 of chapter 24. Jesus answered and said unto them. Now he's going to launch right into the tribulation, the end times that nation of Israel will go through. Verse 4. Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Now what does that mean? That means there's going to be somebody who's going to come along the way who's going to try to deceive you. Verse 5. For many shall come in my name saying what? What is he going to say? I am the Christ. And shall deceive many. Now before we go to Revelation, we're going to read verses 1 and 2 of Revelation 6. So you can turn there, but let me mark something in your minds before we read Revelation. The Jews are already thinking Jesus is going to come to establish his kingdom. They're looking for it to come. They're asking him, is it now in Acts chapter 1, right before he ascends? They say, is it now we're ready for the kingdom? So don't you think that they're excited for the coming kingdom of Messiah? We're not talking about the church. The Jews don't understand the church. They don't receive the church. They don't accept what we are doing today. The Jews don't accept it as a nation today. They don't believe that this is the truth. But one day they will turn back to Jesus as Messiah. That's what he said in verse 39. One day in the future they will receive Jesus. Now church is gone. True believers are out of here. We got raptured out of here. They're going to go through this. And then there'll be potential for them to be deceived. Because they're still looking for the Messiah to come and establish his kingdom. So this guy comes. And he claims to be that guy. To establish the kingdom. Now the kingdom is to be established. Watch this now. We're going to see wars, rumors of war, but not there yet. The king, this Messiah, this false Christ, this Antichrist, he's going to come bearing the arm of peace like the Messiah would, right? Bringing peace to the world. Let's see that in Revelation. You're in chapter 6, verse 1. Let's see this. I hope you're there. I'm not even there. Okay. Chapter 6, look at verse 1. We're going to read 1 and 2. It parallels perfectly with our text. And I saw then when the Lamb opened of the seals, and I heard as it were a noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts, beasts saying, come and see. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. Now, on this white horse is the false Christ. Why does he have a bow with no arrow? Because he's claiming to bring peace. That's what he's claiming to bring. And he that sat on him a bow, no arrow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And so Israel would be, there's potential for them to be deceived, thinking, hey, this must be the guy. Because he's coming in peace, and he's conquering. And that's what they were expecting the Messiah to do, to come in peace, but also to conquer. Now, Jesus said two times in our text in Matthew, you can flip back to Matthew, He said in verse 4, take heed that no man deceive you, and in verse 5, and shall deceive many. So he's concerned here that they're going to be deceived. Now the peace is short-lived, isn't it? Look at verse 6 of our text in Matthew. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. This parallels with Revelation chapter 6 also. Look at verse number 3. Revelation 6, look at verse 3. And when he had come, or when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. Look at verse 4. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. Wars, rumors of wars, you see. And that they should kill one another, and that there was given unto him a great sword. So Israel is witnessing these worldwide, phenomenon, really. Like catastrophe on a worldwide scale like it's never seen before. You might say, I've seen wars and rumors of wars, and I've seen these things, That means he's coming back. No. We're talking about catastrophe on a global scale like it's never been seen before. Look at verse 6. It says, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Now we're going to talk about worldwide catastrophes and wars during the beginning of the tribulation, which is here. Church is already, Christian saved people are already raptured out, and the tribulation begins. It says in verse 7 of Matthew 24. Now I'm going to try to take it slow. I get excited, so I don't want to go too fast and lose you. Matthew 24, look at verse 7. And then we're going to go to Revelation 6 to parallel, okay? For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines. Now this word famines means hunger, and it parallels with what Revelation chapter 6 verse 8 says when it talks about hunger. But this thing of rising nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom and famines is actually seen in Revelation 6 verse 5 and 6. So I hope you got it flipping back and forth. Keep your place. We'll see the parallel in verse 5 of Revelation 6. Look what it says. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him a pair of balances in his hands. What does the balances indicate? Well, it indicates famine. It indicates we're selling things. And it's actually explained in verse 6. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. So the balances indicate that food is scarce. There's a famine. Yeah. So what Jesus is saying is actually paralleling exactly what John is saying will be taking place in the tribulation time. Look at verse 7 again of Matthew 24. We'll see the next part. It says, verse 7, the next part of verse 7, it says, and pestilences and earthquakes. Now this earthquakes is a Greek word, seismos. In a basic sense, it just simply means a shaking. And it says next, in diverse places. Now, this word diverse places, kata, means a from place to place. It literally means global or worldwide. So we're not just talking about an earthquake in a strange location. We're talking about earthquakes on a global scale. Understand that. Now this parallels with the next seal, the fourth seal in Revelation chapter 6, verse 7. I hope I haven't lost you, but this is really and very important. Revelation chapter 6, look at verse 7. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death and Hell, followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth, which is what would be indicated to happen if there was worldwide, on a global scale, earthquakes. Yeah. Now all these, it says in Matthew 24, look at verse 8. It says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Sorrows, basically what Jesus is saying, now you know that the tribulation has begun. The beginning of the tribulation. The beginning of sorrows. This word sorrows literally is the word dinon, which means birth pains, as in a woman beginning the process of giving birth, birth pains. Paul speaks of these same birth pains in a text in Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3 that we just read. Can I read it to you? You don't need to turn back there. You can mark it. 1 Thessalonians 5, 3, we just read it. Let me say it again. For when they shall say peace and safety, which is what the Antichrist says he's going to bring, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, which is what Jesus is talking about here. Also, the seals are representing in Revelation chapter 6. Sudden destruction cometh upon them, watch this, as travail upon a woman with child. Paralleled with what Jesus said, the beginning of sorrow or birth pains, they shall not escape. Later, now, just so you know, we're going to be talking about the abomination of desolation, which is 3.5 years into the 7-year tribulation time. We'll give some more of the details about this next time. We have so much groundwork to lay today. I don't have time to tell you about some of the prophecies from Daniel and Zechariah, but we'll do next time, okay? Next Sunday, God willing. But look at verse 21 of chapter Matthew 24. We'll be doing some of this next time. For then shall be, what are those next two words? I'm sorry, Matthew 24, look at verse 21. It says, for then shall be what? Great tribulation. Now watch this, watch this. The tribulation time, the day of the Lord is the tribulation time. It could be titled day of the Lord or tribulation. Peter actually speaks of it as the day of the Lord. Well, we had some technical difficulties in the recording of our sermon for Sunday morning. Therefore, we lost the end of the actual sermon. I want to take the time to gather my notes together and at least complete the outline of this sermon so you have from where I left off to the end of this sermon. I was just reading from chapter 24, verse 21, for it says, or rather, it says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now, the point that we're making here is about Israel, who is being warned against this great tribulation, the tribulation that is to come, and they are being warned against the deception of the Antichrist, the devil, who is to come. Now, God's not just speaking to Israel, he's also speaking to us today. And he is wanting us to be warned against deception, that we should be mindful of the possibility of being deceived even yet today. Now, the type of deception we're talking about is not for Christians during the tribulation time. Because as believers, we understand we will be raptured, we will be taken away. So although Jesus is warning Israel and warning people that will be around during the tribulation time because they weren't saved, God still wants us to be warned today before the rapture as believers that the Satan is deceptive today. He won't become deceptive when the tribulation begins. He's deceptive now. And his desire is to not just to deceive, but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That is his mission. That is his desire. And he is still hard at work deceiving many with the lies that he perpetuates in this world. And he has so many means and ways of lying.
and deceiving that it's really unreal. I think one of the greatest ways Satan, and what I mean by great is one of the most successful ways that Satan has deceived this world is through religion itself. Religion, there's so many religions, and they all have a different message about God, the Bible, heaven and hell, and the reality of sin and the consequences of sin, and it just muddles and messes everything up. And so now we have a world, a generation of people that are totally confused about the things of God. And those who are unbelievers just thrive on this confusion. And so as Christians, we have to understand and be mindful of the reality that this world is alluring, but we must listen to the truth of the Word of God. And when God tells us of the dangers of the world, that we would listen to Him, that we would be obedient to Him. Now, in our text, Jesus said that those who would reject this coming deceiver and were saved during the time of tribulation would actually be hated and killed. Now, God warns that there would be no peace for believers, but a tribulation which would lead to death. Verse 9 through 12 says this, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for not my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." And so we're going to see many that are offended and betraying each other along the way. And people who have been saved during this time are going to be betrayed and killed. Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11 actually parallel by explaining this through the fifth seal. In Revelation 6, 9, it says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held," the testimony of being saved. And also, it could be that their testimony is being Jewish as well. "And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." Now, back to our text in chapter 24 of Matthew, it says, verse 13, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." So there is no question that there will be a time of global evangelism. Revelation 14, 6 and 7 says this, that during the tribulation, it speaks of a global evangelism as well. Here's what it says. "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, saying the everlasting gospel." Let me start those verses over again. Revelation 14, verse 6. "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people." And so everyone on the earth is going to have an opportunity to hear the gospel according to these verses. "Saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and sea and the fountains of water." However, this does raise a question. Who will have a chance to be saved during the tribulation times? Now, 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 12 make an interesting point, and it causes me to believe that people who were spoken to by the Holy Ghost before the rapture, yet denied or blasphemed, rejected the Holy Spirit before the rapture, will not have the same opportunity of salvation because they rejected the Holy Spirit. Now, this is my opinion about this. but verses 1 through 12 of 2 Thessalonians speaks to the working of the Holy Spirit. I'll read these verses. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by sword, nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God and that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That would be the Antichrist. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now ye know that verse 6. And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. So what is that force that's withholding things? That would be the Holy Spirit. Verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And so we're talking about the day when the Holy Spirit will not work in the world like he did before the rapture. When the rapture takes place, the Holy Spirit will not work like he used to work during the church age. Verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, tribulation, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And so we have those that did not receive the truth, who rejected the calling of the Holy Spirit. Now verse 11. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion. He'll send who strong delusion? Those that rejected the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's calling, that they should believe a lie. Verse 12. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And it's not that God desires for people to go to hell. I don't believe that. However, I do believe that whenever you reject the Holy Spirit, when you reject the call of the Holy Ghost in your life, that you there's no other way of salvation if you rejected Christ. Or rather, there's no other way of salvation if you've rejected the Holy Spirit. I think it's important that we should not assume that we'll have a chance to be saved after the rapture if God has worked in our heart. And just like the Jews need to be prepared for the tribulation time, we today need to be prepared for the coming of Christ. What I mean by that is, if you're lost, get saved before it's too late. And just like a lost person needs to understand the gravity of this subject, we as believers need to understand how important this is as well, that we will not allow ourselves to continuously become deceived by this evil world who is still run by the devil and is still deceiving many today. The world brings suffering. It's alluring. It offers pleasure, and it does bring pleasure, but it doesn't last. And in the end, it leaves you with nothing but guilt, and in the end, it will do nothing but destroy you. One thing I think we should understand is that Jesus is coming back, and we need to be ready.